Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is old friend Dan Armstrong. Dan is gonna tell us about what he's been picking up as far as intel, as far as where he's going with his investigations, some of the interesting pathologies we're seeing in the research and alternative news field, and we'll delve into all that and much more. So, without any further ado, Dan Armstrong, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks again, James. Always good to be with you.
And always good to have you. Well, tell me, Dan, you're an old friend of ours. What's on your mind? What's been going on? It looks like the circus, I wouldn't say circus sideshow act, but this cosmic jungle we're in is creating these many-headed Hydra attacks upon humanity once again. Things have intensified just in the last several days. Fuel prices have spiked. The closest, what they call here a petrol station, what we say as a describes a gas station in America. The nearest one here, which wasn't my favorite place to go because they were a little pricey, but they jumped from $1.60 a liter, because we go by liters here, to $1.90. And yesterday, as I'm driving by, it was $2.19, $2.19 a liter. So that's a significant jump in just the last several days. So we're going to start feeling all this in the pocketbook and
Absolutely.
everywhere else. So, your thoughts on that or anything else, Dan, the floor is yours.
Well, what I like to do, and I guess a big part of what I want to look at today is like more narrative analysis versus data points. And I know, James, you being with your background, military history, strategy, this is what actual analysts do, right? That learning how to separate narratives from facts that we can work with. And I mean, the oil is just going to be the first of the major shocks. Obviously, it's more than just what we do to fill up our car. This has a downstream effect on everything we purchase. So this has huge implications, right? In other words, expect to see a lot more inflation. When we look at the famous stagflation of the 70s, due to the oil crisis, this is exactly what was responsible, right? So I think it's going to be a little bit more than short-term pain that people are being sold on. By the way, there are always the people who don't really feel the pinch when the short-term pain hits, because for a lot of people right now, they're making decisions between putting gas in their car, heating in their homes, and feeding their kids. So like this is they don't really have any room to work with. That's just a bit of a backdrop with it. Of course, the man who said that he'd clear up the Ukraine conflict in 24 hours is probably not the best person to go with the assessment on how long this particular engagement's going to take. Or, I mean, the big problem I've noticed and everybody's agreed on is there's no objective here for this conflict. There's no clear objective. And what's your take on that, James, in terms of military conflicts? How well do they
Well,
work when there's no clear objectives?
we live in the era of bombast, of a lot of Tarzanic, if that's a word, chest thumping. Like could you imagine, like the Secretary of Defense in the past, like some courtly gentleman? It was Secretary of War back prior to and through World War II, and they just went back to that designation. But courtly old gentleman like Henry Stimson, Secretary of War during World War II. Yes, he was a skull and bones man. Not everyone's perfect, but there was a Victorian aspect to him. And then his assistant secretaries of war. Yes, there were major players, guys like John J. McCloy, who became chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank. Just high level government defense, particularly positions. Likewise, assistant secretary of war Robert. Love it. Yes, he was a skull and bones man. Okay, we know that. But can you picture them sending out these bombastic tweets? Because everything seems to
No.
be like an attempt to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator, where things like reason and empathy, none of that counts, right? So this notion that, oh, short-term pain for long-term gain, when there's no exit and no off-ramp, and simultaneously they're feeding us, and I don't want to run off in tangents because you're the guest of honor here, right? So we're being threatened with, oh, drone attacks in California. What could these drone attacks, and look how we've been primed with drones. They rebranded UFOs from UFOs to UAPs to drones, and we just see endless videos of that. And now when we see these things, which are heavily censored in the West, of major drone attacks coming down out of the sky because these billion-dollar air defense systems are worthless, essentially. It was all just hype. And all these countries over there are getting hammered, right? So the public, subconsciously and consciously, has been fed this concept of drones, and now drone attacks, and now drones on California. Well, what can the drone attacks, presumed drone attacks in California, do to California that hasn't already been done by Governor Newsom, right? Directed energy weapon fires, reparations in the millions for every single, person of a single ethnicity, to totally bankrupt invasion by immigrants for decades now, right? I remember when Orange County was a major conservative red block. It didn't matter how crazy the liberals went in Northern California, right? There was always this conservative voting block in Orange County in particular. Not anymore because of the influx of these foreign invaders. So we're being threatened with things that we're already getting hammered for. So that's the domestic fear. And then if you look at the foreign policy, foreign invasion aspect, there's no off ramp. They're talking about like l a land invasion. Unless they have a 500,000 plus troops, anything less than that will be a token gesture, and the country will just swallow those troops up. And this is not World
Well,
War II,
I think
okay? This is like,
that's a great point in itself, though, right? It's just showing how much cognitive remapping we've been doing over the last few decades. Because when we actually had an actual invasion of the borders of countries, that was considered inhumane to enforce a border, but supposedly we have a system of defense where we do proxy wars on the other side of the planet. And that's called defense, though. Like, we've completely flip-flopped the concept of what defense is versus offense,
yes.
and the people are eating it up.
Well, it's just the switching and the changing of the lexicon of the
Like, this
jargon.
is a huge one, like you're saying, let's say just for California.
Yes, and so we're looking now at this escalation, and certain players in the region, let's say, are known to have a happy trigger finger as far as the nuclear button is concerned, right? So, and this fits into the eschatology, the apocalyptic Armageddon-like mentality, where it seems that the powers of darkness on this planet are rushing ahead in true Armageddon fashion, almost as if they're trying to forestall or stop something from happening, right? It's like they're pulling out all the marbles now. And if you look at the number of attack vectors coming at the human race, and I use that term pointedly, right? One of the silliest justifications for trying to destroy Iran, and it's to the point now where, because they can't get to a lot of the underground launch control facilities and the underground weapons development, missile development, drone development factories, in totally predictable fashion, they're just wiping out the surface infrastructure, hospitals, schools, everything where people are, because they can't get to the military
Well,
hardware
which
needed.
are and let's be honest here. Let's just stop because I think so many people are completely ignorant. First of all, how many forms of international law can you can you break? How many instances can you break? Right? Like, sorry, civilian targets are unacceptable, hands down. Even key parts of infrastructure are not acceptable, right? If it affects civilian life to the point of severely impairing people's ability to live properly, that is not a legitimate target. Never
Right.
mind the fact.
Yes,
Never
because
mind
you.
the fact that, sorry.
Oh, no, please continue.
I was even I saw an interesting analysis the other day, and I'm pleased, I don't want people to think I'm a huge lover of the regime over there, but I do think it's important to work with a semblance of a rules-based order. And you cannot be in negotiations on one day and the next morning you wake up and bomb people. And
Yes.
they've shown that like this is a complete violation of even the legal norms for the negotiations, because obviously they had the logistics in place to execute that. So it's not in good faith. And as I was following it pretty closely, and again, I think the Iranians knew that they were very close. So they were quite serious about capitulating on some pretty key things. And the worst part is we're not given access to, like, well, how far did you get in the negotiations? What did they actually object to? Did you give them humiliating terms and call it a negotiation when it was a unilateral imposition that wouldn't allow them to save face? These are the details nobody wants to ask.
Yes, there's
And these are
always
the things I find very disturbing.
there's a Megarian decree aspect to it. If people go back and study the Peloponnesian War between the Athenian Empire and the Spartan Alliance, Athens is sending these demands, ultimatums, unconditional surrender. Okay, we've heard that recently, which is ridiculous, right? Oh, besides, we won the war anyway. That's another meme that's gone out. But the little island or the little polis city-state of Megara, they came under the Spartan alliance, or at least they were neutral. I can't remember exactly what their status was, and it was interesting the parlay going back and forth. And O Obama made a very public point about walking around, and they do this, right, where they hold certain books and pretend to be reading certain books just to plant some seeds, right? And it had to do with the Megarian decree, and the Megarian decree was the Athenians saying, no matter what your justifications are about how inherently unfair and bullying it is for us to impose these decrees and sanctions and impositions upon you, well, that's just tough crap, because we're stronger, we're bigger than you. And then the Megarians would come back saying, yeah, but if we just reason, diplomacy, we can find a common. No, the Athenians would say, there you go again. We're stronger, we're bigger, we're more powerful than you. And we will ultimately take over and, if not kill you all, enslave you all, or what's left of you. And that's exactly what happened. Point being is we see this replay of the Megarian decree, where, and now, what incentive does Iran have to even open a parley or negotiations when their ambassadors and diplomats will get assassinated and taken out anyway, which is the pattern we've seen. In that part of the world. So everything is headed
Yeah,
to a crisis point. Oh,
I
please continue.
thought, what's really important, and I contacted you too because I seem to see a lot of people in the disclosure community, for lack of a better term, really jumping on this conflict and sanctioning the aggressors as, again, more of this
Posing their
QAnon white
perspective,
hat nonsense.
their Weltanschauung worldview perspective, they're imposing upon it on this scenario that's playing out.
I find it very troubling, because it's one thing when they want to talk about Greenland or Venezuela or whatever, but what we're really seeing here is, and it's not investigate it, there is no investigation going on. We just have claims being made by people, and when we ask, well, can we see evidence, can we see reasoning, they're like, sorry, it's a black box. You're not allowed to know how it works. And you just have to have faith that this person, and just this
There's a certain
marrying, like
level
you're
of
saying,
con You
though,
have
the
to have a certain
religious
level of consciousness. Don't
ideology.
forget, you have to have a certain level of consciousness too.
Right. So, to me, this is there's is wrong on so many levels, but the one that I have a big issue is just dismissing surface level truth. I'm sorry, but you know what? Before you want to dismiss the surface level truth, perhaps read a little bit about the history of the US with Iran over the last 75 years. That might be a good place to begin before you dismiss it and mainstream narratives, because the reality is, the Iranians had a democratically elected government with Mossadegh in the 50s. The US overthrew him because they were actually building a sovereign, independent Iran free of British and American interests of using them as a colony. Remember, Iran is Persia. It is a very, I mean, this goes way back in history. These are extremely proud people. By the way, they've actually been occupied by every single power known to mankind over their history. So they're quite ready for a foreign invasion. And the point being is, they overthrew a government. They installed the bloody Shah, who was a horrible leader. Like, sure, there may have been mini skirts and cars and so forth, but as you know, James, some of the worst secret police and a system of repression, like we're talking Assad level oppression that Iran was dealing with under the Pahlavi regime and installing this monarchy. The British and that are always keen on recognizing somebody as some monarch when it suits their purpose, just like
Yes.
those Emiratis and the Saudis and all these people. It's
And
like, oh, we need a partner. How do
all
we
the latter that you
justify them?
mentioned are artificial constructs, all created by empire, Saudi Arabia,
Right.
and also the Gulf Cooperation Council, the Emirate countries there.
Absolutely.
Little enclaves
Right.
created by intelligence. It was like a latter version of Sykes-Picot, just drawing lines in a map. The great game and spheres of influence is what it is. And
Absolutely.
another justification is, and I just love how you see all these expat Iranian influencers out now. The people love Savak. They want to bring Savak back. Savak was set up by the CIA and Mossad, basically, to be the internal secret police. And they were like a terror. And for decades, they ruled
Absolutely.
Iran with an iron fist. Right, and
And
no.
it was a thing that fueled the whole Iranian revolution to begin with,
And just before
right? So
I
it's
lose
really
track,
key.
it is. And I've been saying for some time, and the evidence strongly suggests this, although not one of these, and I respect a lot of these geopolitical analysts, they like they know their stuff, but not one of them has come to grips with the fact that it was MI6, CIA, Mossad that in. That created the Islamic Revolution in the first place, right? Because that led directly to the
Yes.
hostage rescue, the
Yeah.
hostage crisis that dragged on for a whole year plus, right? So all that factors in this justification of we've got to go save
Yes.
the oppressed people, the oppressed women in Iran. Well, start with the oppressed white women in the UK, in Germany. In France, because the same force that is seeking to destroy Iran and create mega instability in that whole region, like we've seen in Libya, Syria is overrun by jihadists, right? And look how far they've gone backwards, where they've legalized marriage to 9-year-old child brides in Iraq. Great job of liberating Iraq, right? So the justification is, oh, we got to go in there and save all those people. Those rioters were rioting for economic reasons because the sanctions made life unbearable there. So that's a legitimate
Precisely. Thank you.
grievance kicked in
Yes, it's
with people who were sick of the
absolutely.
policies, but also how many of them were really protesting against the sanctions, the international interference, right? So then, of course, the NGO, CIA, etc.,
Absolutely.
openly boasted about it in the Twitterverse, where they are openly stating, yeah, we're the ones arming and fomenting, the Kurds and these other dissident factions, let's say, to stir up the rioters to the point where they were, attacking police and attacking police stations. We've seen the shtick before, exactly the same shtick
Well,
that was used to get rid of Mossadegh that you just talked about, right? And then the people go, oh,
Exactly.
they're rising up. They're rising up against
And
their oppressors.
yeah.
They are so simple-minded because everything has been reduced to a soundbite now, Dan.
Exactly. I know. And people, I guess what bothers me, James, is the in how lazy people are. I mean, it's not hard. We have every resource in the world now with the internet. You can spend 15 minutes reading even a Wikipedia or Britannica page to understand something about Iran. And what I wanted to point out as well, and it's being glossed over so much, is just, the Iran-Iraq war that lasted for 8 years with 250 to 300,000 people lost on both sides, never mind how many casualties, never mind the fact that the US was supplying both sides, Iran and Iraq, and using it as a war of attrition to just destroy and weaken both states, never mind the fact that the Iran-Iraq war was also involves the Iran-Contra scandal with we're using Noriega in Nicaragua to do cocaine sales to facilitate weapons transfers, and yet the US still carries this proud banner of being the moral policeman of the world. I think it's very important when we look at people claiming to have moral superiority, a little bit about the last 75 years, right? It's really key.
Yes, and
And it's not being discussed here. It's not being discussed. We just see, oh, bad regime. Oh, look, Pahlavi regime, mini skirts, cars, everything was good because that looks like an America that we can identify with. And we want to bring back the sovereign, independent Iran. Well, sorry. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand the larger game here because we tend to look at only one thing, but when we look at geopolitics, obviously it's a proxy war against Russia, against China simultaneously. There's no question of that. And we know that because we see how much the EU, the great champions of human rights, are staying silent on this and condoning the aggressors in the situation. Which, because they see it as anything that weakens Russia is good for their war against Ukraine and is good for Western Europe. But we're seeing some defection. I saw Italy has recently started to say speak out against it more. Spain speaks out against it more. But that Trumpstein there, when he that's what I'm calling him from now on, Trumpstein, because we also have to look at the fact that it's very convenient, like that the one thing that we've lost from the whole analysis as well, and these people are so big on, oh, like within our community, oh, Tr Epstein, 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 okay, and the implications of that in the cabal, right? And what bastion of democracy in the Middle East is that figure associated with? Right? Right, like you think that maybe it's not even just about him trying to just, I'm not just saying everything's a distraction, but I think it's pretty important when we're looking at geopolitics again and we're looking at the significance and we're seeing the extent that Epstein's ties, his tentacles went into every imaginable corner of the universe and had control files on all of these politicians that, and then we're having an aggressive act with the United States and its partner in the region to then shift the focus on Iran. And it's very convenient, if you know what I'm saying. And then, but at the same time, we're trying to say, well, Trumpstein, he's basically anointed by God. And this is about lighting the signal fires to bring about Armageddon. And it's this perfect wedding of evangelical Christianity in the States marrying apocalyptic eschatology and then tying it in together with the white hats. I mean, it's
Yes,
just a beautiful production. It makes the
it is.
producers
It
look
is.
like a serious documentary.
Well, there was this great album cover, Iron Maiden. I think it was Number of the Beast, where you see this devil satanic figure all in red, on this big stage, and above it, because it got strings attached because it's a puppet, and above it is Eddie, the infamous Iron Maiden. I don't even know what you call them. Their mascot or whatever. But Eddie is manipulating the
Oh,
Satan figure, you see? So who's controlling and who's manipulating who? And I love what Professor Zhang said in the side. He goes, it goes much deeper than this. If I said it, you just think I'm crazy, right? But he's pointing out that when we say script and we say things are scripted and we say things are not as they appear, it doesn't mean that real people aren't being killed and real chaos and disillusion is not occurring on people, places, and things. Okay, we're not saying that. There's a school of thought that everything is a hoax. Everything that's a taking an extreme view. Okay, I mean, we see these extreme views all the time in our field. But when he says there's an Armageddon script playing out, absolutely there is, because like the man on the street may not think in terms of ritualism, ceremony, prophecy, either fulfilling prophecy or thwarting prophecy in some way, in some areas, and how that plays out at a cosmic level. So what's going on now? There are absolutely cosmic implications, but that also pulls in all this false narrative and these false beliefs and all this hopium, right? Tied to it. I mean, there are stargates,
Absolutely.
vortex areas all over the world. They tend to plant military bases, temples, ziggurats on top of these vortex. I don't mean little itsy bitsy portals. I mean vortexes, right? They're all over the world. So even if there's a stargate in Iran, is it worth risking a world war to go get that? See, there's
No,
no
and this is what
proportion.
I'm tired of, right? Is that it's like people don't want to learn the surface level truth of things, but they
Takes
want to
effort.
jump onto the extreme woo, and then that's like, well, we don't need to learn the surface level. We can just jump into the woo that's unverified, other than some people claiming to have remote viewed things or whatever else. And this is the part that's making me very angry, right? Because it's a privilege. It's a privilege to sit back and not be bombed on, to not have your existential threat of your existence being met with, and then to be able to spiritually sanctify empire in the name of saying that you're taking out the cabal. What is the cabal at this point? What is this mysterious? Like, what the hell is this?
Well, here's the thing that seems to be lost in a lot of these people that you're describing is the very same forces involved with allowing open door policies of these like medieval Saracens into all these Western countries to rape, kill, massacre, and it's a two-tiered system. As you know, they're all protected, and then in America, it just you get the immigration of the whack jobs from all over the world, but also catch and release. It's like they're catching and releasing Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer every single day in America now. Guys got bazillion arrests, violent, entity. It's not mental illness. That's another Freudian garbage crap. And I love how Candace Owens is pointing out the fallacy of the whole psychological field. Because it's all based on mind control, pedophilia, and everything else, right? But the mentality behind, the consciousness behind letting these repeat violent people out over and over to wreak havoc in society, that's utterly demonic, right?
I
And
mean,
then.
who needs Iran when you have our own installed governments
That's the point I'm making.
working more against us,
That's the point
online
I'm
hate
making.
crimes, all of these things that are happening now? I mean, I had to actually, I couldn't believe it the other day, but they've actually done things now with the left where they actually brand nationalism as extreme far right. I don't, it makes my head explode. Go to any other country outside of the West in the world, and the people are deeply patriotic. They're deeply nationalistic. Every single country on the planet. So are they all far-right extremists, or do we have something else going on? So this is sort of this toxic combination, like we're still believing in these things, like these so-called leaders are looking out for our best interest, and so forth. And let's just go along with it. And I'll tell you, and it's part of what I wanted to get into with this is it seems to be that, within, and maybe we'll do more of it in the second half, but in the disclosure community in general is phobic about critical reasoning, about even being able to cast doubts on claims that people are making for fear of being low vibe. If you come back with count like actual facts and history that show, well, maybe I don't quite agree with your opinion here, you're just told, well, this is just what we're presenting, take it or leave it. But I think if you're claiming to be spiritually enlightened and high vibe, you have a responsibility about having the greatest integrity of the intel that you are releasing to the public. And this upsets me because I think what I'm getting at with the lack of critical thinking is that, and this is what we're really getting into, is that there's a branding behind things. This is sales. You'll notice that sales and marketing is the area that hates critical thinking, right? That's why marketers target children and adolescents because they don't have critical thinking skills, because they're great, profitable consumers. And I think within our field as well, it seems to be strange that we condone empire, we sanctify empire. Because it might ruin our business model. This business model that keeps promising this, again, this it's saviorism, it's a messiah that they're looking for. When they talk disclosure, if you look at it on an analytical basis, how different is it from Christian fundamentalism, evangelicals, with the rapture and space Jesus? And what it really comes down to is, why should we figure out what's wrong with our own planet? Why should we take action in figuring out the power structures, how to fight the power structures, how to build back, some responsibility in our own nations and lives when we Right. So this is the, I'm trying to set up the different data points and we look at things here, okay? But beyond trying to educate people with my perspective of, history and that, I think people can do that on their own. Just, I really encourage people, go look at multiple sources, find out a little bit more about the region. It's really important. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of actors like China per se, so I do see that, there could be downstream benefits in some regards, right? But what the main concern I have coming from this is our community in particular, with working in relation to disclosure, they're not looking at some key things. That this tying it together of the religious aspect is what I find the most concerning, this savior mentality, right? Because on one hand, we're told, well, stand in your sovereignty. And then out of the other corner of the mouth, it's like, don't criticize the leader and do what you're told and be quiet. And I see those as contradictory things, to wait for an external savior to lead the change while supposedly claiming personal sovereignty. So I just want to like put in some questions for people to think about that, because we're given lip service about use your discernment and do this and do that, but at the other hand, it's like we're never talking about what is discernment or how to do it. And we're not told about what standing in your sovereignty looks like. And for me, that means you can think on your own, and you don't have to go along with the group. It doesn't even matter if 98% of the community are all convinced of one particular narrative. You don't have to go along with it if you're a sovereign being. And that's what I want to encourage people to look at a bit more here.
Yes, and
What are your thoughts on that,
well,
James?
absolutely, because you and I, we come from a background. We come from an era of we were archivists. We were students of history. I mean, when we were kids, we were having semi-adult conversations about these very subjects. We didn't know all the details. We didn't have all the facts at hand, but we had a broad outline of what the Roman Empire and before that the Roman Republic was about the Napoleonic Wars. I mean, that's how boys who were one day hoped to become men, that's what they were taught in the old days. Military history, they were taught the classics, Latin, Greece, et cetera. So people had a
The
foundation.
whole field of international relations is built on that, right? Studying it from the classical world, right?
Yes, that's the whole concept. But all that has been replaced by this Jerry Springer type reality show mentality. Just to talk to your point about the, what some people are describing as the Operation Epstein Fury aspect to this, right? If you look at the domestic blackmail involved, and then if you look at the ongoing Erica Kirk saga and how that even dovetails into all this, because you referenced Iran-Contra earlier. Now Candace is talking about the potential for real estate fraud. That was the basis for Iran-Contra fraud. Al Martin, who wrote the book The Conspirators, former naval intelligence officer that was all wrapped up in the whole Iran-Contra mess, he said the number one form of fraud during that era was real estate fraud. And we talked in a previous show, hypothecation, all the different things you could do as far as real estate
Absolutely.
fraud is concerned. And Al Martin talked about in order for this to work, you have to have a Iran-Contra, in his terms, an Iran-Contra friendly justice system. You had to have Iran-Contra friendly brokerage firms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And so what
And
Candace
I
is
think this is
discovering
what
now is
people are
what is
focusing on
existing.
this deep state.
Yes, because if you realize that the deep state is responsible for the invasion, it's responsible for the domestic nightmare, it's not like.
It's responsible for the fentanyl crisis. It's responsible for the entire what they call now the Vancouver model of money laundering, fentanyl with Chinese triads, Mexican cartels. And again, it seems like every action through world events now is being interpreted through this disclosure layer. Oh, well, whatever happened in Mexico, it was that. Oh, whatever happened here, it was because it's the white hats doing it. And it's like we're over attributing these things. And I'm not saying there hasn't been some good efforts to clean up shop, but I don't think that requires a metaphysical cleanup crew to do. It requires people to talk about things that were plain as day. People walking into casinos with hockey bags full of cash that was clearly being money laundered and casino set up specifically for that purpose. I mean, they found in Canada $1 trillion has been money laundered through with real estate, like you were just to your point about the Candace Owens and the Iran-Contra, $1 trillion money laundered through. My point is, we don't need to go into the wild speculation. All we actually need to do, there's plenty of good data out there, and we
And
should be investigating it more.
what's maddening to me, the exact same forces, the kind of gluons, if you will, to use a term that bandied about physics these days, that hold kind of things together, is this nexus of cult abuse, pedophilia, mind control, mega human trafficking. We saw overt human trafficking in the Biden administration and the borders, okay, north and south. So this notion that somehow this invasion represents a different, altogether different element of government that's going to free the people of Iran, they're somehow separate and apart from the very same entities that have their tentacles everywhere in the human trafficking and in the fentanyl, in the financial fraud, the real estate fraud. Somehow they're different. See,
Exactly. I mean,
that's
obviously the banks know what's going on, right? Like
yes.
here in Canada, I mean, the banks, the RCMP, our national police, the government, it's all one giant business model.
Well,
You know,
Tucker
the
Carlson,
reality is it was a business model. They
it's a business
were
model.
pushing They were calling it the Toronto and the Vancouver model for a reason. Like literally, TD Bank, a Canadian bank, was fined $10 billion by US authorities because of the obvious money laundering going on. Now, that doesn't happen unless there really is a criminal intent. And the US authorities were quite shocked. They said, we had no idea that Canada was this central to the fentanyl operation, right? And why? Because criminals aren't dumb. They're going to go, predators go where things are weak. They don't attack the strong, they attack the weak. So they go after the place with a high trust environment, very weak laws, weak enforcement, centralized, very easy to control. And so my issue is like, who is this cabal they're talking about? Because as far as I see, JP Morgan's doing great, Citibank's doing great, TD Bank is doing great. They're all making money. Lockheed is doing great. We're increasing military spending while they continue to not even pass audits. So now they're talking, not only do they want to push the Pentagon budget to a trillion, they want 1.5 trillion. But on the other hand, we're being told, but we're trying to stop the forever war. Which one is it? How do these empirical facts work with the claims being made by some of these radical elements, I'm going to call them, within the I don't even know what to call this anymore, because I'm not necessarily for disclosure the way these people think.
Well,
They want this Jesus comes in the clouds disclosure where, we can just sit back and enjoy things for the most part. And oh, 2026 is the year it's going to happen. If I wanted to do this, I'd go join the Jehovah Witnesses or somebody. They're always preaching that Jesus is coming back. It is exactly the same architecture. And that's what I don't like. We coming from the community now. And it doesn't mean, and I think the thing that's sad is a lot of those people do bring a lot of good information. It's not like I'm dismissing everything they say, but I think it's high time we introduce the concept of accountability, critical thinking, etc. And we cannot just let channelers and remote viewers of questionable provenance leading us through sensationalism, clicks, and the marketing model of YouTube and the algorithm in determining where we go,
It's all about
right?
merchandising, branding. And we saw with Atlas 3IA, like a preview of that. It was Atlas 3IA was like a Rorschach blotter ink block test. And people see into it what they want. For example, keeping in mind that in all likelihood, the moon is an artificial construct, a Europa, a large planetoid for Saturn is a artificial, and at least one of the moons of Mars is artificial, and on and on and on. The presence of a second sun already, along with its attendant solar system, in our solar system already. So I'm not going to get too worked up over the notion of, a craft the size of Atlas 3IA, even if it was stuffed to the gills with all these aliens, hostile or otherwise, right? And I'm certainly not going to impose my belief system upon the ingress and egress, the progress of that Atlas 3IA. Oh, they're from the Galactic Federation. They're here to help us. Well, maybe, maybe not. Okay. And even for those who remotely view the Atlas 3IA, suddenly they find themselves in a conference room and there's different aliens and they're talking to them as if they're part of the in crowd, they're part of the group. No, your efforts at remote viewing the interior of the Atlas 3IA was hijacked, and now you're sitting in a conference and you're thinking that you're part of the club. What I would say was, wait a minute, I was remote viewing the interior of the Atlas 3IA. I don't want to see you beings. Why are you interfering in that process, right? But that's just me.
No
All we
different than a
have
stage managed dream, right?
stage
Where
managed
things can
dream,
be hijacked,
hijack. So all
right?
these notions of salvation, of a savior complex, all these types of attributes were applied to the Atlas 3IA. How many times a gigantic craft flown in and out of our solar system, right? The only difference was this was now being tracked in real time. And so, like an ink block test, it provided an opportunity
That's a
for
good
all
way
these
of putting it.
people to throw their interpretations upon it. Like what we're seeing with this invasion right now, right? There's all these different interpretations, there's cosmic reasons for it, right?
And let's look at it. Just taking a step out of the painting, as I call it. I get it. One of the problems is, and we're not looking at the algorithm enough. There's so this focus on AI nowadays, but the algorithm is still a big part of the play here. People want clicks, they want views. You only have so much content. The great thing is what we've done now, what disclosure's become is Fox News Paranormal Edition. You know what I mean? It's the same sensationalism. You need content. Great. We don't. We've exhausted content. What are we going to do? Let's just keep interpreting every world event, every major event, as somehow being part of related to disclosure. And this kind of attitude I find very disturbing, because I think there's. We could be spending, there's people who've done painstaking work, including yourself. I will sing the praises of Pierre Sabbat and all the great empirical and hard work he's done. And people don't want, stop spending time listening to these QAnon drops. Pick up a book, read it. It's not easy, granted, but I think you'll find it very satisfying to work with some things that are actually empirically focused, some real original thought, and a whole new way that you can personally interpret things using some different points of view that aren't based off of claims of remote viewers or anybody else who has a, again, in critical thinking, we look at vested interests. If I have a financial interest in propagating a point of view, especially a very profitable one. In fact, my whole lifestyle is based on it. It's a bit of a red flag. It doesn't mean it's wholly to be dismissed, but it is something to take into consideration. And so I want people to think about that because that's work that needs, people don't want to spend the time reading the good work. Like that, and learning the proper methodology. It might be that you have old timers on, and I love listening to the switch for that because I'm learning different perspectives. I'm not seeing something out of the same narrative engine all the time. And there's a wide range of interpretation. And what we've done so much, especially since 2017 or whatever, is we've really funneled the whole thing into a more and more bland version where you either get MUFON, nuts and bolts, or you get this high speculative stuff, and we don't seem to get much of anything else going on. And so,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah, and I've kind of kept myself aloof intentionally, not in a
Yeah.
snotty elitist way, but just to kind of keep my field clear, so to speak, as far as research efforts and networking and what have you, so I can stay grounded. And a quick point about Pierre Sabbat, and we saw this play out in real time. As you know, the troops are now being told. And there's definitely a Christian Zionist mentality and thrust behind this, right? That's what John Hagee and people like him are for all these years. I'm absolutely certain that Alex Jones' big shot connections and sources in the military industrial complex are at the very least Christian Zionist, right? They're the ones that tipped them off about 9/11 coming because they knew it was coming. But anyway, the notion that, and the troops are being told this today. We're going there to Iran. We're going to start the War of Armageddon in order to bring Jesus back. The eschatology, the all you talk about earlier. Okay, so that has an appeal to the Christian Zionist mentality. In the recent past, Erica Kirk was taken to task by critics. Oh, she never says Jesus Christ. She only says the Lord. And if you know through your research with Pierre Sabbat, Lord literally means he who commands a vessel, not just any vessel, but a celestial vessel, crewed by
And the
celestial
Lord of
sailors.
hosts being the Lord of a military itinerant.
Yes, the host. You always hear these evangelicals and Christian fundamentalists who don't know the etymology, the etymological roots of all this, when they think about, oh, I called upon the heavenly host. Well, they're literally calling upon an alien invading army. If you, from outer space, if you plug into Pierre Sabbagh's work, he reveals to my satisfaction through, all of his work, that that's exactly what he's talking about. So Erica Kirk kept saying, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Finally, she was compelled just to throw a bone at her critics to say Jesus Christ. And she said, whether someone is believes in Christ or not, I thought this was significant. She said, and she forced herself to say it, protection through the blood of Jesus Christ at the exact split
Yeah, I
second
saw
moment
that.
she said that, her pupils went vertical briefly for a split second, but I saw it. So, I mean, you don't need to realize that, her eyes are vertical to know that she's some kind of a weird entity that's having a difficult time pretending to be human. Okay. So, point of relevance is that's where this understanding, this basis for understanding comes from, which goes completely over the heads of these Christian evangelicals, Christian Zionists. It's the Lord, Lord, the Lord wants us to invade Iran. The Lord wants.
And I'm gonna be very unpopular for a moment, but I'm gonna get people, I want to challenge people to look at it and look at the parallels though between the evangelicals and what direction the disclosure people are going towards. They are parallel with each other now, right?
Yes.
Evangelicals more than anyone else and Christian fundies in general are the ones who embrace flat earth. There's no question that this is the if you look at the trope of who goes along with it. And again, I get very irritated with the Tartaria thing as well. Not because I'm not wanting to be open-minded, but especially because people are just saying, well, now I don't have to study history. Oh yeah, we don't need to know anything about the classical world now. Did you know that, James?
And they
The
take it to
Roman Empire
extremes.
didn't exist. Nothing existed,
Yeah, that's
huh?
right. Like they take it to extremes. Like I talked about, there's no middle ground. It's like, and their impression is that Tartaria was like 100 years ago or 200 years ago. It's like that's absurd. The armies marching across the South and Mid South in the American Civil War would have seen Tartaria all over the place. Okay, if that was the case, right? So, and also it's gone to the extremes where
And
now
I
they're
mean,
saying.
let's just resolve what Tartaria is for people who don't actually know historically. Basically, it's East Turkmenistan, which is the area known as Xinjiang in China now, with the Uyghurs. I mean, this is sort of what the Tartars were. They were like this eastern flank of that empire. I mean, I was watching an old Kung Fu movie, 36 Chambers, where they're talking about who's the people who've taken over China at that time, the Tartars.
Because
So,
the
and this is a
post
film from like whatever, 1976, right? Like,
post
this isn't nothing
post
new.
post Mongolian dynasty, right? You had Tamerlane, you had the Tartars that were these marauding, once again, nomadic, Turkish, kind of Turkic background, Asian descent, but those were the Tartars of the time, right? So anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment, and that's not to discount the possibility or likelihood that there was in North America a very advanced civilization at one time. I
Oh,
think we have it.
absolutely not. And
Yeah.
I like to be open-minded, but
Yeah.
I am sort of trying to draw the parallel that we're telling people, okay, so you don't know your cosmology, flat Earth, and now you don't know your history, Tartaria.
Yes.
Sounds like a staging ground to start a religion and to completely destroy everything people once could rely upon as
Oh yeah, and
empiricism.
then you have the whole issue of the firmament, of the dome. Satellites don't exist because they like run up into the ceiling of the firmament. It makes my head hurt just thinking about it. But anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our old friend Dan Armstrong. Dan, if people feel so inclined, would you rather have them contact you through me, or do you have an email perhaps set
Yeah,
aside to?
contact through you. It's probably best just contact through James. Then it's a little bit of extra effort, and people who really want to know me can do that. I don't have much with my channel. It's just an edited version of one of our videos, but I plan on getting more with that in the Substack in the future. I do want to come back and work and contribute in the community, but I think we all have unique roles to play. And I thank you for giving me the chance to
Well,
talk today.
anytime. And to our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.